So the Gemara tells us on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, we had just finished talking about how Rabbi Yossi has this opinion that an androgynous is a birya bifnei atzma. It's not, the person is not male and the person is not female, it's its own species. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Adarabba, leis v'lebraisa mekam mastisim. We had said that leis mastisim kam ebraisa. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, assumed that an androgynous was a male. And now this braisa says that, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a bria bifnei atzma. An androgynous is its own species. Says the Gemara, wait a second, why don't we say that the braisa should step aside for the Mishnah? Midashavke Rabbi Yossi lubar zugei. And the fact that Rabbi Yossi allowed from the fact that Rabbi Yossi had somebody else say it with him, meaning it was him and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, and this Bryce was just him alone. Shema mina hadarbe, says the Gemara. Therefore, we assume that Rabbi Yossi actually changed his mind, and while he once upon a time he thought that an androgynous is a bria b'fnei atzma, here we're assuming in our Mishnah that it is that the androgynous is male. Ushmul amar leis lebrayis mekam mesnisin, and Shmuel similarly says that the Mishnah takes precedence, and we assume that the androgynous is male. Doesn't matter. Wait a second. Adarabba. What? It's assumed to be a male. Correct. Adkan, yes. So Rav understands ultimately that Rabbi Yossi holds that an androgynous is male. Shmuel comes and says that the Bryce is pushed aside for the sake of the Mishnah, which also says male. Now the Gemara is going to say the same question as it had on Rav. Adarabba, leis l'masnis makam ebraisa, tahashim shaminan le l'shmuel d'chayish l'yichida. But doesn't Shmuel himself hold of minority opinions? Doesn't he, isn't he machmir to say that we even have to follow minority opinions? In this case, Rabbi Yossi's more unique minority opinion, meaning not with Rabbi Shimon from our Mishnah, his minority opinion is that you treat it like a male. The Gemara said, no, hani mili kilomis akra masnisin. That's only if the Mishnah is not somehow uprooted. Hold on. Lomis akrin masnisin. When the Mishnah is not uprooted by the minority opinion of Alkimis akrin masnisin, but when the Mishnah is uprooted, lo chayish. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I guess what it means is when there are contradictions between the Mishnah and the Raisa. And in this case, there is a contradiction according to Rabbi Yossi, whether you consider the androgynous a male or a bria b'fnei atzmo. And therefore, in this case, when there is a contradiction, right, it's mutually exclusive. You can't hold both of those shitas at the same time. So then Shmuel does not concern himself with the minority opinion. And therefore, he's going to throw away the Braisa and just hold the commission. So it seems like both Rav and Shmuel agree that we're passing like Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah to say that the androgynous is male. So Amri Bei Rav Mishmei De Rav Halach Rabbi Yossi Androgynous. We're passing like Rabbi Yossi, like in our Mishnah, that it's considered, we consider the androgynous a male. Uve Harkava. Yeah. Yeah. So, we have no indication of that yet. We talked yesterday a little bit about how nowadays things might be different. Hermaphrodite. Never heard of that. It's only on the outside. Right. 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 Yeah, we talked about that yesterday a little bit. The Mishnah said no say. It said that you could marry, which sounds like he is male. Whereas the other opinion said, no say is just b'dievet, if you did it, even though you weren't supposed to. So even that was a machlokas. Could this androgynous get married? We don't know. Does that make a claim as to which one we're talking about here? Oh, the Gemara doesn't know the difference because they can see the internal organs.
Uh-huh.
Well, unless they're functioning in that way, yeah. But does... mm-hmm. Yeah, it would seem like that. According to Rabbi Yossi, it would seem like that, yeah. It would definitely seem like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it depends what kind of eunuch they were. Right. It depends how he was eunuch. The Gemara talks about maybe he was eunuch naturally, maybe he was eunuch from an injury. So it could be that if he became a eunuch, so he got married while he wasn't yet a eunuch. The Gemara said that, I think. Right, the first place, yeah. But okay, let's keep going here. So the Gemara just made a comment, which we don't yet understand, but I assume it's going to be explained in a couple lines, that we pass like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to an androgynous and when it comes to Har Kava. Right, it sounds like a something to do with grafting plants, but let's see. Yeah, in Kilayim. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says that we pass like Rabbi Yossi Bikoshi, which I guess we'll also say Uve Kiddush. Unless you think that's going to talk about Kiddush, like we say Kiddush, it's not. Let's talk about the one by one. Androgynous had the Amran. The androgynous, we just went through it. Harkava, when it comes to grafting, it's not in the Mishnah says that we pass like Rabbi Yossi in this case. Ein notin, ve'ein mavarchin, mavrichin, ve'ein markivin, erev shvius pachos mishloshim yom, lisnei rosh hashanah. A person can't plant, or they cannot, what is this, prune? What's mavrichin? Graft. Okay, similar to, wait, so what's markivin? Okay, one is to sink the roots, I guess to sink the roots into the ground. Okay, cut a vine and put it in the ground specifically. Right, one is right, connected to the tree versus connected to the ground. Okay, the ain markivin, you can't do anything with Erev Shemitah because that would be considered like planting during Shemitah. The imnata v'hivrich v'hirkiv yakor, and if you did any of those things, so you have to uproot them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol arkava she'enis koletes v'shloshi yamim shuv ain koletes. Any type of grafting which is not going to sort of take hold in the first 3 days, it's not going to take hold ever. And therefore, it would be okay, as long as earlier than 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, that would be okay according to Rabbi Yehuda. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanna Kamma, who had said, you can't do it within 30 days. He's saying you can do it as long as it's not within 3 days. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Shtei Shabbasos. He said it takes 2 weeks. This sounds like a machlok v'nesias. Just go do it and see what happens. I don't know. Oh, so planting seeds presumably is a different halacha that you would, I believe the Gemara talks about that in Shabbos, about that it takes 3 days also for the seeds to take root in the ground. If I recall correctly, I'm not sure 100%. But there's a general question in terms of Shabbos, whether or not you go after the act or whether you go after the actual result. Meaning, are you not allowed to plant even on Wednesday because of Shabbos? I don't think anyone who says, but the question is, let's say you planted on Shabbos, but the seeds haven't taken root, can you take them out on Sunday and retroactively undo your Isser from Shabbos? You know what I'm saying? Because nothing actually ever happened. So that's just a general question. But here, so presumably Pasuk like Rabbi Yossi, that within 2 weeks is the problem to do grafting, but before 2 weeks, you'd be allowed to. You went on Friday? You said on Friday? I think we generally it's mutter to put it on before Shabbos, even though it might take hold on Shabbos, it's fine. But Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, Vadevei Omer Shloshim, Tarach Shloshim Ushloshim. According to the opinion, it says it takes 30 days. You would need 30 days before the 30 days. Oh, okay. So it's not just 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, but it's 33. 30 and 30, and the different Amar Shloshim, Tarach Shloshim Ushloshim. You always have to have 30 days from beforehand. I guess this is some kind of Gezeirah Midrabanan. Because you have, no, it's not because of Gezeirah Midrabanan. There's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shvi'as. Just like we add on sometimes to Shabbos. For Shabbos, which is 24 hours long or 25 hours long, however you want to say it. So you add 18 minutes, that's good enough. For Shemitah, which is a whole year long, so you have to add 30 days before. That's what Tosefes means. So here, when it's talking about these 3 days or 2 weeks or 30 days, so that has to be already from before the Tosefes, or the 30 days is beforehand. So this is, I guess, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Right? You have to be 3 days before Rosh Chodesh Elul, or 30 days before Rosh Chodesh, or 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Elul, or a whole 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Elul. Ushmol Amar, B'Koshi u'B'Kiddush. So what's Koshi? It's Nan, Kama Yehe Kishuya. What is this talking about? No, this is talking about, well, we haven't gotten to the Kiddush part. This is talking about a woman giving birth who sees blood close to her giving birth. She sees blood because of the difficulty of giving birth. So the question is that considered a Dam Nida or Dam Leda? Dam Leda is Tahora and Dam Nida is Temeah. Right, so here we're saying that she sees blood in the process of giving birth. But then the question is, Kama Yehei Kishuya, how long before the birthing process do we consider it to be Dam Leda? So Rabbi Meir Omer, O Arbaim, O Chamishim Yom. Anything that comes from 40 or 50 days from beforehand, that's considered Dam Leda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chadsha. What does that mean? What is that? Oh, it says Chadasha is referring to her month, in the ninth month. That's what it means. So only in that month. So not 40, 50, but only 30 days. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Kishra Yosef Mishtei Shabbosos. No, the blood from childbirth can only be from 2 weeks beforehand. Okay, we pass on Rabbi Yosef, according to Shmuel, we pass on Rabbi Yosef that it's only 2 weeks beforehand. Nowadays, it's all moot point because we consider even childbirth blood to be Temeah like Anita. Kiddush Ditznan. We pass like Rabbi Yosef by Kiddush. What does that mean? Ditan hamisakech gafno al gabe tivuaso shel chaveiro. You mixed together. What is this? Vine over grain. What are we talking about? What kind of grain are we talking about? Here is a Kiddush. Here is a Kiddush. The whole mixture is considered kilayim because you planted things together. V'chayes. Because you're using somebody else's grain. You are planting your vineyard on somebody else's grain. That makes you chayes because you're the one that caused the issue. V'chay v'achruso. Did Rabbi Meir. He's the one who made it kadosh, meaning usher. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim. And Adam also Devar Shana Shalom. A person cannot make something usher if he doesn't own it. Which obviously has far reaching implications and has to be a different question for other things. Okay. Back to Androgynous. Androgynous, Mali Amar Shmuel. What does Shmuel think? Does he agree with Rav that Halach is like Rabbi Yossi? Or does he disagree? Tashmid Amar Shmuel Rav Anan Le Celebrates Makam Masnitsin. We had this statement from Rav Shmuel, which he said to Rav Hanan, that we throw away the Braisa and we take the Mishnah, which is like like Rabbi Yossi. So Harkav Amali Amar Shmuel to Hashemah to Amar Shmuel Rav Hanan Tini Kaman to Amar Shloshim Shloshim Shloshim, which is Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yossi. Koshi Mali Amar Rav Takev. We don't know what Rav said actually by Rabbi Yossi's understanding of Koshi, which was a month, which was 2 weeks before the birthing. Kiddush Mali Amarav, Amarav Yossi, Tashimata, Amarav Huna, Amarav, and also Rabbi Yossi. You don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, and you really do make it Aser, and you are Chayev for planting over somebody else's grain. Amarli Abaye, Machaz to Samach Aha. Why is it that you relied on Rav Huna in his name of Rav Smoch Aha? Rav Ada Amarav, Amarav Ada Amarav, Halach Rabbi Yossi. you should follow the other opinion, says Abaye, that says that we pass like Rabbi Yossi White Kiddush by the Kilayim case. So Amar Bei Rav Manu Rav Huna. Amar Bei Rav Manu, however, Rav Huna. Hold on. Amri Bei Rav Manu Rav Huna. Anytime it says Bei Rav, that's referring to Rav Huna. Yeah, I think that's what it means. That it's from Rav in the name of, is Rav Huna saying in the name of Rav. So when it says before that halacha like Rabbi Yossi from Rav, that also means it's from Rav Huna. What does that mean? What is Rav's Shita by Kiddush? According to Abaye, we just said Rav Ada Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna Amar Ein Halacha. And Rav Huna is the one apparently who said that there is no Halacha like. The first statement was based on Amri Debei Rav, which is Rav Huna. Right. So here we're saying that we pass in like Rav Huna's recollection, I guess, basically. Right. What did Rav hold? And we say that Ami Bei Rav Manu Rav Huna. That when we say Bei Rav, we always assume that it's Rav Huna talking. And therefore, Rav Huna is the one that says Ein Halacha, that we don't pass in like Rav Yossi, and that's how we come out for Rav. Which is important because Rav, we pass in like Rav over Shmuel when it comes to Yisurim. Although here, it might be a bit of money. According to the end of the Gemara, it sounds like Rav's position is that we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, and you really can be obligated for planting over somebody else's grain. Yeah. Which is what Rav Huna said, yeah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, quoting from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer of Tum Tum, he's talking about someone who has no visible organs, and then ultimately the organ does come through and you see that he's male. So then we assume that he's a eunuch. Therefore, you don't do even chalitza. Amar Rabbi Ami, my Avid Lay. What do you say? What does that mean? What do you say? What do you do for him? Oh, okay. My Avilei Rabbi Yehuda Latumtum to Biri. Biri was apparently a person. A town or a person? A town, okay. There's a guy, a person, who was living in Biri. The Osva Abe Korsaya. He was sitting, or they made him sit on a chair, the Ikra. And his skin split. And it brought out his organ. The Olid Shvab Benin. And he had 7 kids. That's the story.
So
yeah, it's excellent. What? Yeah. Right, so which one is it, Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah says that they're a eunuch, and therefore you shouldn't do any chalitza. Interesting, okay. Yeah, the Gemara in Shabbos talked about a kid, a child, little kid, whose fatness, whose obesity undid his bris milah, and therefore he'd have to do a bris milah again. You wouldn't have to, but just Mara's iron issues, you would do a bris milah again. Which is the child, it comes up, really does come up. I know a kid that had... Right. Right, okay. To such an extent that you wouldn't be able to...
This is not, doesn't seem to me, from my very limited knowledge, doesn't seem to be totally impossible.
Just, but you think that that was the situation? That they just couldn't see, and therefore, I don't know.
I don't...
That's what it sounds to me like. Nikra, the word nikra means to tear. Not just that it's... Right. Right. Yeah, not your... Yeah, I don't know. So the question still remains, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the deal? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, Chazer al Banav Me'ayin Heim. Maybe we're assuming, making an assumption here, that these seven kids belong to him. Really, they aren't. I don't know. I don't know. That's not what the Gemara says thus far. What? Yeah. It's possible that the wife had relations with somebody else. And but which teaches you that Rabbi Yehuda really believes that he's a eunuch. So much so that he's going to believe that the women did something promiscuous. Tan Rabbi Yos Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum Lo Yachlot Shama Yikara V'Nimsa Sris Chama. You shouldn't do Chalitza even if you were a Tumtum, lest you are exposed as a natural eunuch. But can a Tumtum, even if he wasn't going to be a eunuch, do Chalitza? Right. So there's no recourse here. There's no reason why you would ever do a chalitza. So I think the Gemara is going to say basically the same thing, which is, Atu called the mikra zachar have. Your only worry is that he might be male. He might be female also. That also would mean that he doesn't do chalitza. Why are you only telling us we're not doing chalitza because maybe he's going to be a eunuch? He also might be female. We're not going to do chalitza because he might not be a man. The Gemara says no hachikamar. Shemi yikarvin yom sin nekeva ba'afilin yom sin zachar. Shemi yimachtis yoschama. Really, you should read in between the lines and basically say, yeah, female, obviously no good. But even if not a female, it would still be no good because Shemi yimachtis yoschama. So my benai, what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda? Where Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said, Tumtum lo yachlot Shemi yikarvin yom sin yoschama. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Tumtum shenimta v'nimsa zachar lo yachlot. So what's the difference? They both say the same thing. Amar Rava, Lifsol b'makom achin. Lifsol b'makom achin. If there are other brothers that could do the chalitza, the question is whether or not, if the tumtum did it, would that suffice? Right, would the other brothers still have to do chalitza? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that he's definitely a eunuch, so then ein chalitza so klum. Chalitza does nothing. But according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that it's not absolute that he's a Yisrael, but just that we're concerned that he might be a Yisrael, so then it's very possible that the brothers are okay.
So, I mean, first of all, that's in fact only one brother needs to have a Chalitza, correct?
Correct. That would be the easiest solution. Right. No, there's not. So if you look closely, so it says Lifsol v'makom achin. Lifsol v'makom achin does not mean that the other brothers are not able to do chalitza. It means the other brothers are not able to do yivam afterwards. Because we have to be worried that maybe the tumtum's chalitza, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, was a good chalitza. From yivam. You can't, right? The other brother really wants to marry this woman, and the tumtum comes along spontaneously and says, hey, here's a shoe, spit in it, the whole thing. Right? So that would be a problem. Now the other brothers can't marry her anymore. It's possible. We don't know. It could be that tumtum comes out and becomes a female. Then we would know. Maybe that would be different. I don't know. But at least for the time being, while still a tumtum, you'd have to assume, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that it could be male, and therefore you can't do yivam with her. I don't know how they do these things. Yes. Also not relevant now because probably medically we'd figure out what the person is in another way. You're right, right. V'lachlos shalom b'makom achin, ikav enayu. And to do chalitza when there are no brothers, is also an obvious nafka mina, whether or not she'd have to do chalitza or not. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we assume he is definitely a eunuch, and therefore she can go marry anybody she wants. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd have to do a chalitza michumra, I guess. Well, we don't know if she does or not. Yeah, it's a chalitza misafek, a chalitza, yeah, a chalitza chumra. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we pass in here, but I would assume that the best advice would be to do a chalitza just to cover your bases. For her, yeah, for her. Amr Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amr Rabbi Abba Achua de Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavdi, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Androgynous Chayavon Olav Skila Mishnei Mekomos. This is what we mentioned briefly yesterday, that an androgynous, whether they have homosexual relations in one orifice or, typical relations with the other orifice, either way, you can be Chayav Skila according to Rav. Because they'd either be considered male or they'd be considered female. No, isn't that both?
They have the male presence of male parts, they're considered male, and therefore it's forbidden relation.
Okay, good. He's got two orifices, and whether the typically homosexuality would be only through the backside. But in this case, right. But we're talking about only having relations with another male. Yeah. If you had a relationship with a male, and that male would use either orifice, according to Rav, you'd be chayev skila for both of those. And we had said yesterday, there's an opinion that said, no, you can only be chayev in the way that homosexuals actually do it. So Meisavei Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Androgynous, chayev anav skila bezachar, kibazachar. Rabbi Eliezer, this is the opinion we said, Androgynous can only be chayev if chayev for the act of the mishkav zachar, if they do it in the way that's typically done. Meaning not in the possible female part. Isn't that exactly what we meant? Okay. So we're basically still asking that question on Rav. Don't we see that there's a brisa here from Rabbi Eliezer, that one would only be chayev if you do mishkav zachar in the typical way, one would do mishkav zachar. So ho de amar ki hay tana tanya Rabbi Simai omer androgynous chayav anav skila mishnei mekomos. Rav is passing like the other tana, right? He doesn't have to align with every single opinion of every single tana. He has a different tana that he can rely on. So my tana to Rabbi Simai, why would he say that? Amar Rava bar hamdure asbarali. Bar Hamduri explained this to me. And the male you should not sleep with in the way of a woman. Mishkavei, the word mishkavei is lyings, right? Two different types of relations. So what kind of male are we talking about? Haviyomar Dandrogonus. Okay, must be, based on that pasuk, that there are two ways of violating it. Rebbe Anan. The pasuk says only for a zachar. It has to be in the way that a zachar could do it. A regular zachar could do it. Right. And only in this homosexual. Yeah, I think it's just referring to the possibility of penetration, not necessarily, you know, otherwise it would be impossible to understand the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't make any sense anyway. Right. I've never heard those explicitly, but I can imagine.
Well, basically, the idea is that there's really only one particular act for which you're
specifically... Well, it's an impossible act.
Men?
Yeah.
one that has stones. That's the one.
Right, so what's the argument then? If you do anything but that, it's fine? That's what you're saying?
If you do anything but that, you're not playing me. It's not the business. I'm not advocating that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the actual halach. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know.
Well, the halach, the claim, I'm surely not going to tell you, but the claim is that...
I think derech yevarim is also a problem. If you're just touching genitals, is also a problem. I'm not sure if it's chayav miso.
Well, probably it's at least rabbinic.
Right, right.
I mean, this would suggest that if you take this,
right.
The letter of the law is all
right. Right, only this penetration will
only
be a problem.
So,
okay, I don't know enough about it, but I'm learning more now.
But they're saying it's from them, and they have a female orifice. That is not.
Well, that would be androgynous. Symptom wouldn't have anything. Right, androgynous. Yeah, it's a big discussion. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not a problem. Yeah, not for a woman. An androgynous has both. That's only if it's homosexual. Right. Right, but he has the male. Yeah, well, that's why we're discussing it. That's how we're discussing it. We did. Yeah. Yeah, that was in terms of no. Yeah, we didn't talk about what. Yeah, we didn't talk about how we can violate it for the sake of. Yeah, so let's keep going here. So the Gemara says, "V'Rabbanan, Zachar Greid Minalehu." How do the Rabbanan understand the general? What were they just saying? Rabbanan, meaning Rabbi Eliezer, is chayv only if one were to penetrate in a typical homosexual way. So then what would they? So they use this pasuk to teach you that an androgynous is only chayev if you do it in a typical way. But how do you get a regular male if you're using that pasuk for an androgynous situation? How do you understand the prohibition of the regular male with another male? Rabbanan zachar greidim minalehu may ves zachar the drasha. And then the Gemara says, "Beisha shlo kedarka minalehu."
This was very ambiguous. It seems to be interpreting es zachar as meaning only if you did it in the manner that the man would do it with another man.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
It seems to me according to Rabbi Eliezer, this shades over into a different question of is he a zachar or is he a thing to itself?
Right, right. So that was right. So this would imply that we're talking about a bria bifnei atzma, and it's not
okay.
Just one or the other. Otherwise, we covered each one. Yeah, we would cover each one from the regular issue. That's true. Yeah, I think there's a long. Yeah, if I recall, there's a long tosfos about this on Amud Aleph, which goes through well, which ones we pass in. Like, do we see that it's a bria bifnei atzma, or do we see that it is a suffix? But here the question then. Sort of, I don't know if devolves the right word, but goes into what if the androgynous would have relations with a woman, but also shalokadarka, meaning anally, not in a normal way. So the isha shalokadarka minalahu, me the isha, that even if the androgynous would have relations with a woman, but would do so unnaturally, that would also be aster. I don't know why, maybe it's because he'd be considered a male, or a female. Because but it is us.
Really
it's us to be direct. The question is whether it's nuts. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it is.
The question was whether it was.
Right.
So Zanut, if you say Zanut is forbidden mitzvah, right? So that's the prohibition of Zanut. But it isn't.
I mean, if the woman who is forbidden, though.
Oh.
Say again? Okay, so then I was trying to figure out what the problem would be, and you're saying that it's a Erva situation?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's say the androgynous is sister or something like that. Androgynous to have normal relations with a sister would obviously be prohibited. Here we're asking about how about unnatural penetration. It's still right. Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting stuff. Right. So Amarev Shizvi, Amarev Chista, Lo Lakol, Amarev Eliezer, Androgynous Zachram Aliyahu. It's not for all intents and purposes that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Androgynous is considered a male. She'ima ta'omer kein, fa'mukdashin yikdash. If that was true, so then even by animals, we would say that an androgynous animal would be good for a carbon, because that would be considered like a legitimate male. But we don't say that. Right, but we don't say that. Right, it's a mum. It's not kosher. When we know in the low kaddish, how do we know? The Tana Rabbanan, because the rabbis say, wait, the Tana Rabbanan what? Is the bryce of what we're about to say? Hanirba v'hamukta? A bird that was mounted, sodomized, v'hamukta, and a bird that was used for avodah zara?
Designated
for avodah zara. V'hanavad, and a bird that was worshipped as an avodah zara. V'ha'esnan, and the prostitute's fee bird. Here, take this bird. And yeah, it's a weird thing to do, but umachir, and a bird that was swapped for a dog. The tumtum, and a bird which is non-gendered. We don't have any organs to base it on. Vandrogonus, and a bird which is whole, has both. Mitam in vigadim abes habliya. If they did malika on that bird, because it's not possible to be brought as a karban, so then it creates tuma. It becomes a nevela, which is tame. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, tumtum androgynous ein mitam begadim habes habliya. That a tumtum and androgynous bird do not create tuma when you do malika with them. They're not considered a nevela. They're like other birds and why? Shahi Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Komakim Shinemar Zachron Kevav, Atamoti Tumtum Adrognus Mim Binehem. Anytime the Pasuk says anything about a male or a female, so then the Tumtum Adrognus are excluded from those categories. The Oaf, Hoel Velo Namar, Zachron Kevav, Yatamoti Tumtum Adrognus Mim Binehem. And by a bird, the carbon of a bird, it never distinguishes between male or female. I don't know if that's true. Is that true? So therefore, you're not going to exclude a tumtum and androgynous from them, and therefore they are kosher. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, so then tumtum and androgynous are capable of being brought as karbanos.
Only birds.
Only birds, yeah. Hold on.
If they could do it,
they're not going to create tuma, but you still can't use them for a karban. I think that's what it's saying. You can't have kedusha. You can't designate them for karbanos. But if you were to do something, it doesn't create tuma. Yeah. Okay. Fine. I don't know. What does that have to do with this gemara? What does that have to do with this gemara? Yeah, we're not talking about that. Yeah, what we're talking about for the sake of a carbon. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Afana Namitanina, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hakilayim Utrefa V'yotzei Dofen, Behema, which was itself a like a breed. What do you call that? A mixed breed? What's a better word for that, no? Crossbred. That's what I'm looking for. Utrefa, or an animal which is treif. Yoti dofen, or an animal that was born through a cesarean birth. Tum tum vandragonos. Lo kadoshin, lo makadshin. They can't be in any way kadoshin for the Beis HaMikdash. V'amashmo lo kadoshin. The truma, meaning batmura, sorry. They don't become kadosh when you would try to replace them or try to use them as a replacement. And v'lo makadshin, v'osa tmura. When you try to, either they're being replaced or you're replacing it with these types of animals. Shema mina, the Rabbi Eliezer thinks that there is no kedusha by these animals, and tumtum and androgynous species cannot be used. It can be considered a male, like he says, by a person for chalitza. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chayvan Oskir Kazachar, that the androgynous, or is this a tumtum still? I remember. He'd still be chayv like a sachar. Tanam Rabbi. I'm a Rebbe. Kishalachti lilmot Torah etz Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, chavru alai talmidav kitar negolim shel beis bukya. What does that mean? They came all around me like roosters.
The roosters that place were fierce and did not allow a strange rooster to remain among them. And it would seem that the name book addressed the nature of those roosters. I think they were shot down.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed to
teach or to learn.
To
he wanted to go learn, and they wouldn't let him in. And they only let me learn one thing. If there's one thing you could learn, you should know that androgynous is considered like a male if he has homosexual relations. We're not going to let you learn anything. It's just this one thing. It's one thing. Oh, what do I get to learn? What do I get to learn? Androgynous is considered like a male, and he'd be chayav like a male if he has homosexual relations. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, what a death.